Am I wrong?
I thought.
Down there. Got some interesting gender separation going on here. This is a meeting of the Colorado Voter Access and Modernized Elections Commission. It's Thursday, May 22nd. Why don't we start by doing a round of introductions since we have some new faces, and make sure your microphones are on because we are recording and broadcasting this hearing. Why don't we start down there?
Michael Brown, Governor's Office of Information Technology.
Frank McNulty, State Representative from Highlands Ranch.
Richard Westfall, Hale Westfall, representing the Colorado Republican Party.
Max Tyler, representing Lakewood, and that's House of Representatives.
Elena Nunez, Colorado Common Cause.
Jesse Danielson, America Votes.
Hillary Hall, Boulder County Clerk and Recorder.
Fran Long, Montrose County Clerk and Recorder.
Martha Tierney, on behalf of the Colorado Democratic Party.
Great. So it's been a while since our group met, so I think the goal was to get together, get some updates on a lot of the work that's been going on from the subcommittees, and then start to sketch out a plan for the fall. Suzanne Steyer, who's the other member of the commission, couldn't be here today. She's taking the ballot access team to the Rockies game, so we will fill her in afterwards. So it's actually not on the agenda, but it's always part of our meetings. The first item is public comment. If there's anyone here who would like to offer public comment, feel free. Seeing none, then our next agenda item is the business practice subgroup update. And Hillary, I'll hand that over to you to fill us in.
Thanks. The subgroup has met once in the off season or the on season, depending on if you're the legislature or not. And we really laid out how to keep in touch. Our work has moved more to the state and county level that we were keeping an eye on. The counties have been working directly with the state on the development of the web app. So the update from that team with the technology committee kind of summarizes all of where our work's been. What we're looking at now and could use some direction from this committee is so there's many moving parts. One also is the Clerks Association has continued their training program with getting people ready for the primary and the VSPCs, creating best practices, those sorts of things. Then also the Election Statute Review Committee from the Clerks Association also has been doing updates on the new legislation and what does that mean. Senate Bill 161 in particular, what does that mean for the primary and the general? So we're trying to figure out how to not, you know, duplicate or kill off the people that are our group, but still add value. And one of the areas that I would like this group to discuss is we've been talking about metrics, and especially metrics around, well, from the clerk side, how many of these voter service and polling centers do we need, and how do we measure both 2014 and 2016? I know as the bill was written, it was to go through 16 and to give it more than one cycle to make that determination. But we had started this conversation last summer as well of, you know, what do we want to measure and what is of actual value versus what can we measure, and to take the time to make those decisions. So I'll say it a little more succinct. What do we need to collect both in the primary and the general this year? One area that we are particularly interested in is, do we have the right formula for VSPCs? If that's how many we need, no problem. But if it's not, we really need to look at that, because we're from larger counties, and I haven't checked in with small counties yet. It is challenging to get the 2 weeks for locations. So not that we can't do it. It's just harder than when there's a large number of them. So that is the brief version of where we're at.
Questions for Hillary? So I've got one. Can you talk a little bit about what data is currently collected or what we already know? Because it seems like there's probably a lot of things that we could try to collect, but what will we be able to tell based on the reports that are standard, and what would we need to build in to get a greater sense of use of
the easy information to look at? And then what to add on is all the information that counties use for Canvas, and then in addition what the state generates as special reports. And we've For those, I hope I'm not taking us down. I don't know how to have this conversation because I felt like we had it. We didn't really land anywhere last year. There's a bunch of information available from the state that they generate different reports. Anything related to the canvas, as far as, you know, what's voter turnout, registration data, how many knew, how many used a VSPC, all of that type of information is pretty accessible. Is there anything else we need to be thinking about that doesn't already come from input you would put into SCORE? And input you'd put into SCORE is anything you can think about, like with a voter transaction at the time that transaction took place. And so one of the things we tracked was what forms of ID did people use. I know a few counties are implementing DL scanners, and so that will be that helps you pull up the voter record. And so one of the things that you can also get from that is how many times did you have to hand enter because somebody didn't show up with one. And so it's those sorts of things that maybe the commission wouldn't know. Maybe it is the subgroup should look. Maybe that is for the subgroup for us to come to you with a recommendation of what should we be measuring it on. I mean, that's another way to look at it based on what we know is already there, and then have you all make the final decision. So. I don't have the answer. I'm bringing you guys the questions.
Right.
So,
Martha, did you want
to? Yeah, I had a follow-up on that. Thanks, Martha Tierney. In terms of the data that's already collected, does it capture which VSPC the voter went to?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got volume by center.
Volume by center, by day, by even, you could do morning, afternoon as well. I mean, because they're all time-stamped when the transaction takes place. That would take a little more manipulation of the data to get out, but it's in there.
Okay.
So.
And related to that, is it some? I don't think this would be in any of the other reports, but is there a way to capture what the capacity of each VSPC is, so the number of check-in stations, what that looks like? Because it feels like that's one where it could vary dramatically based on the county. Are there six computers where you can check in? And
right.
How does that look? And
so that's a good point of what's the volume that went through and what was the setup for it. So that would be good information to gather because, again, it may be fewer locations but more capacity might be the answer we come to. So, that's not available exactly. It's related to how many users you have, but I think that if we can send, I'll send something out at least for the primary, and then especially in the general of how many did they have at each station, and we'll know some of that. I mean, those are questions that we're also asking for the web app development as well. And the plan is to go back to counties. We want to know how many users you're going to have because we need to know for the backup plan. If the web app is really on track, and I think somebody's coming to speak to us about that. We'll see. The backup is to know, like, if we had to go back to Citrix licenses, how many are we going to need? Right now, if you asked everyone the question, they would say probably twice as many as they'd need because we're clerks and we overplan and we have a lot of contingency. So what we want is to, like, do the primary, then we're going to go back and ask some of these questions again so that once we've had a little more experience with it, and we'll also have an even better sense of where the web app is. But what we've seen, first session that was presented to the counties was really right on track. And in fact, I'm not even going to jinx it, was really right on check. So, but to your point, yeah, be a good thing to gather. Sorry, long answers. I'm going to shorten it. Not very.
So this is somewhat unrelated, but it was something I know the business practice group is looking at, I think, before the coordinated, but related to the planning and the number of users and things like that. Are there further modifications to the VSPC flow model and what that'll look like as the web app is being integrated, or are you imagining it'll be similar to what we saw for 13?
No, the flow chart that was given out is what we're recommending for counties to go forward with. Fran, have you seen any differences?
No.
I mean, it worked really well in 13. Yeah.
Martha?
Thank you. On that point, it's my understanding that some counties are able to process a voter at one station for both registration and check-in, and other counties are using a completely separate check-in station and registration station system. Is that something that we could track? Because it might impact the time that it would take a voter to get through the process, which might also drive capacity for whether it's check-in stations or number of VSPCs.
Yeah, we definitely can ask how they're planning on doing it. One of the things with the web app for the primary, we're using current score, just to, for those who aren't meshed in it this close every day, right? We use score, and we'll use it like we did in 2013. And that means that we can process every voter from one station, and it's just not super efficient. You have to click through a lot of screens. For the fall, the web app, for those who are already registered, it will be a much quicker process, and we'll be using a web-based application. But if someone comes in and is a brand new registrant, not changing an address, but a brand new registrant, or has to change their name, then we would have to go into score. And so some of that may automatically, it may be preferable to have two lines. These people are going to take more time to process, so we'll keep them in one line, and these people will go faster because we can use the web app. One of the pieces that really helped in Senate Bill 161 was to allow counties to continue processing registrations up to and including Election Day, because that can get more people in the registration system, so when they show up at a VSPC, they'll already be in there, so that should help. But I think that's all great stuff to track. One is, you know, what were your in-office registrations as you were processing, and then also how'd you set up your system.
So now I have another question. So in terms of the two lines, it makes sense to me that new registrations would go to a line separate from replacement ballots, that kind of thing. But then once that person was registered, would they have to then get in the line to have a ballot issued? Or is the idea that for any voter, they would have one line versus two? Have you all looked at that? Or is that something to test as well?
Some of it's what resources they have available, but that's another, like if they do ballot on demand, how many stations, that's a good thing to ask them as well. Brian,
speaking from the small and medium-sized counties, we have a statewide flowchart that we've seen, and we base it on how many anticipated voters that we're going to have. Now, I think that Martha Tierney was indicating that there was a check-in. That check-in is very brief for our county, or medium-sized counties that choose to use that model. They're checking in, and all of a sudden, we just throw, you know, we put them, do you need replacement? Are you a new registrant? And it's a very fast line. It's just what do you need, and how can we best help facilitate that? Replacement ballot, they go straight to replacement. They get their ballot. Everything happens right there. They can vote on the machine, or they can get their paper ballot, whichever they want. The same with new registration. They do everything right there. They choose to surrender their ballot, that would be that other place that we could do that with. So it's a matter of looking at what your resources are, and we don't like having more than three people in a line. So we want to make sure that we have enough stations out there that they are moving through at a very good pace and that people are getting their needs served.
Ours is a little bit more than three. Four. We have these things called students that wait till the last minute.
But it's the same. But those are some good questions of how to, like, what did people do, and to survey after the primary and gather information from that as well.
And are the larger counties, I know just anecdotally from 13, it seems like there were different experiences in different counties. Some were having people work the line to try to figure out what their issues were. I think some, there was an interest in scaling up capacity on the last couple of days, so not number of locations, but number of processing sites within the location. Is that something that we'll be able to look at, too, and try have some way of saying, well, it really worked in X county because they saw the same number of voters as Y county, but they did this other thing differently? Like, those things that may not show up on a flow chart, but
that's a good point.
Could help us round out the story of what's working and what needs work.
Pre-sorting.
So would it, to formalize what you're collecting, I mean, are you thinking that maybe you're putting together suggestions now and for the next meeting running that list by the commissioners or something like that? Would that be helpful or?
I'm trying to gather, you know, use your brains outside the system as well of like what would make sense, and then if it's then my thought was to go to the business practice group, say, look at what we've been talking about, look at what we collected last time, is there anything else, and then come back to you all and say, here's what it is. Again, primary, we're going to probably be some post-surveying. We don't really anticipate the volume-wise, just a lot of issues there. It's really what are we setting up for the fall. I think the other thing that will be interesting, I don't know, in smaller counties, I know many of the larger counties have talked about opening their extra locations both Monday and Tuesday. I know we are, and then I would think that would be another thing we would track. Did you open Monday and Tuesday, or did you just open Tuesday? The law only requires the extra ones on Tuesday. I know for many of us, it's like, well, why not open on Monday and have that be that site's kind of dress rehearsal? It always makes us nervous to do one thing with a lot of people on one day. So that would be another thing to look at, I would think.
I can see the need for the larger counties to go ahead and open on Monday. For medium-sized and smaller counties, that would just lend to more confusion. I believe a lot of the smaller counties, their only site is their office.
Yeah.
And they don't need to have one on Monday. So that's part of the formula that is already in place in the statute. The same with the medium-sized counties. There is a formula in place that I'm required to have. I'm only required to have one now, but I have two because I have such a demographic separation in the county that I need to have one on the other end of the county. So I do that as a matter of just accessibility. But on election day, I need to have another one. I truly believe that that is going to be a waste of resources.
Lots of stuff to look at.
Right.
So,
and it seems like the other thing that came out of 13 that probably bears more research is just the role of drop-off locations. And obviously, it'll be easy to tell the number that each county had and the number of ballots returned, but what other things can we learn from that, whether it's, you know, parts of the community and expansion, 24-hour versus those that are located in offices that have, you know, more conventional business hours, that kind of thing? Because it feels like that's just one of the areas where we have a lot less information other than a general sense that they're popular.
And I think that's a good reminder because counties have, like, well, we may know how many dropped off now that we have a distinction between, you know, a 24-hour box and some counties are really good at by location, by day, all of that, but it, you know, takes staff and effort to do that. So maybe working with some of the larger counties and some of this, I don't know how, sorry, this is why both Fran and I aren't here. The smaller counties are like, what do you guys do? But that's another, to your point, I know Denver said they saw 60% of the ballots that were dropped off in person were dropped off at their 24-hour boxes. And I can tell you from us setting those up, they are not cheap to set up. So, but if people use them, it's great. So,
It'd be nice to have 24-hour, but the smaller communities, the medium-sized communities, we don't have the 24-hour traffic. You know, restaurants close down at 9 o'clock. Everything else does, so the sidewalks roll up. But then, you know, it is nice to have something if you happen to be in town late shopping at Walmart or something. We've been looking at a possibility of the library. But again, it is very expensive to put a 24-hour because you have to have a camera on there.
Yeah, so the surveillance.
That usually is one of our issues, is trying to find surveillance for that.
Right. That's what we've been hearing, is that's the challenge for medium and smaller counties.
But again, it's usually our offices that there are the drop-off boxes for the medium and small counties, and they're usually right across the street from the post office, so we get a lot of volume, always have, so we don't experience, like the larger counties have, that last day or two of a tremendous more volume than we've ever had in the past. So it's a little different for us. Again, that's why we see already in statute, and we'd like to refine that, the three different formulas that are, you know, are applicable to the bigger counties, the medium-sized counties, and the smaller counties.
Representative Tyler.
Thank you. And I would like to suggest that this may be blindingly obvious, but you don't care about all the data that you collect. You care about the bottlenecks and the errors mm-hmm. and to look at. And there may be data from the 2013 election that tells you where the bottlenecks are and, you know, the areas that you can cure simply. And with the upcoming primary, if there was a way to focus on what's blowing up around here and you may be carrying a lot of data, like 60% of the people vote 24 hours. That may not be the critical issue there. So that's nice, but it doesn't matter. You know, what matters only is the bottlenecks, and if there could be a focus on that, that might be of value. So,
Representative McNulty?
Thank you. So how many counties have 24-hour drop boxes versus those that don't?
I'm not sure. Last previous, yeah, I don't have that data. It's that would be something to gather. I know many of the large counties are planning on putting them in. But
thank you.
Yeah, I mean that would be worth looking at too. Just I know just anecdotally from our work in terms of voter information, there have been a lot that have been added over the last several months in anticipation for this year. But I don't know that we've got a good.
We'll soon have a collective source of that. We're in the process as an association gathering all of the drop-off information for our website. So it will have the 24 hours in it as well. Some of them, I know, are not going to have them for the primary, but we'll have them for the general. I know we're one of those counties as well. So, but that would be a good thing to gather.
Thanks.
And Hillary, I think I want to make sure I understood correctly. Some counties will be able to track by location for drop-offs. Others won't because they get picked up and then they're processed. So there's not... there's no way of marking, like, this came from X location versus Y. Is that correct? And do we know which counties do that so they could just help us understand how that works?
That's what I'm going to ask. And then I made a note to also discuss that at conference of practices on how to easily incorporate that, because I think it can really help you with planning in general and it would be a good practice. So for, I don't know what size it breaks down to, but yeah. So,
Representative McNulty.
Thanks. So, am I to take that to understand that some counties where you have multiple drop boxes or drop-off locations, self-contained, where sort of like a mailbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the staff will go to that drop box, will have the ballot bag,
ballot
right?
Box.
That you take, that you mm-hmm. put the ballots into, and then that ballot bag or that ballot box is not then sealed.
It is sealed and tracked. It's just when you are you tying the counts back to that box once you open it? So you know that the ballot box came back because there's a log that right. you track it, and it's sealed, and you have judges verify it.
There aren't multiple boxes in that. There aren't multiple locations in that bag or box.
No.
That's just that one.
Okay. I'm not saying you can't do it. We just don't know if everyone does do it.
Well, and they may empty them numerous times during the cycle, right? So if it's a really popular drop-off, it may have to get emptied four times during the period of early vote. So that's where we would need to be tracking, if it's possible to track when they were emptied. These all X number of ballots came from 29th Avenue.
So you'd have that. So most, and again, I'm speaking from my experience, so you jump in and add on. So most of it, you have like a reception area where you check in and check out your ballot boxes. And then it moves to a different section when you're actually processing how many ballots were in it. And I don't know if everyone, once they open the box, that they record how many ballots came out of that particular box and tie it back. And that's what I want to find out. And that is what I'd like to talk to the business practice group about recommending, because I think it helps both everyone else understand and it helps with data and planning in general. That, I guess I'm kind of guessing where you're going with your question. So is that accurate?
I don't think that it has been done in the past in that manner. drop boxes are kind of a different animal that we're dealing with. Like Martha suggested, is they're pulled several times a day, and they're done by a team of partisan judges. They bring them in score. I know there's not a way to designate that it came from box one or box two or the location. It would have to be at this point in time done manually on a spreadsheet, which would be probably no problem and something that would be a very interesting statistic to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have enough that we could share, like people could share with their ballot tracking, how
right.
they do that ballot tracking
right.
to vote to box count type of stuff. It's not. So conference might be a good place to have that conversation
yeah.
as well.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, maybe the measure is the number of boxes. It doesn't matter how many are inside of it. You know, it might be easy to track and give you
some. And then you guess how many, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that explains how you won your election, Matt.
You got it.
I was going to say, we're not fond of guessing, just to be clear.
for the record.
Tyler, 25.
Let the record reflect.
Actually, that's hold it up. About 50. Yeah.
But to the measure of volume and difficult and when, how many times you pick it up and et cetera, you know, that.
Yeah, and that log is required in rule. And so even if you can't, even that could be helpful of just seeing how many times in what location and average number of ballots in the box. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it feels like counties have a good sense just based on how often they had to pick up and what they saw, but it's all just sort of a sense, except for those counties that are tracking it in some way.
Right. And the new law does require a increase in the number of drop-off locations, and so that's always a point of, you know, not having it be, having it be a non-issue.
Right. And has the business practice group looked at, and I remember this was something we talked about a long time ago, but I just don't remember where it landed, how the surveillance for 24-hour locations and figuring out, I know Denver has talked about just given surveillance that already exists in the city, that's been easier, that's been harder in other counties where that doesn't exist, but how much of an issue that is and what the cost is and the, you know, that whole process to help weigh, you know, the value of the surveillance versus other mechanisms that could be.
Yeah, I think that's one of the pieces that we would like to look at. Like, what does the value of the surveillance get you, and versus the cost, versus, because you could have a lot more of them if it was a different requirement, even if it was, you know, 24-hour pickup or whatever. If you could address that issue in another way, we also made it really clear in statute, it made it a felony to tamper with one of the boxes too. So it's all those new moving parts.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. So I think, is that it for business practices? Are there other questions?
Yeah, what I took from the group, just to make sure I'm on the same page, I'm going to take the information, I wrote down a bunch of questions and we'll go back and listen to our conversation, and run those by the business practice group, see if they have anything to add, and then at our next meeting, come back to you all and say, here's what we're going to ask together, here's what we're going to do after the primary, and then go from there.
Great.
Does that work?
Thank you, Mary.
Sure. And now that you said that, of course, I have one more question. I'm sorry. Okay. So you mentioned at the very beginning ESRC was looking at the implementation of the laws that were just passed and what that meant, and obviously, we don't want to be duplicative, but is there anything that's been identified through ESRC in terms of operationalizing any of the new practices in the bills? And I'm thinking maybe like the one that allows continuous processing of voter registrations and what that would mean in terms of VSPC practices or anything like that, or?
Say more.
So I'm just thinking I'm just thinking through like how will counties have to change their practices as a result of the new laws? And the one that seems like a significant change is allowing continuous processing of voter registration applications. What will that mean in terms of changes in how voters are serviced at VSPCs or just general practices, or do they really go on totally separately so there's not much intersection or overlap?
For us, I'm again, just have everything caveat of, you know, Fran will have something different to say. So for us, they're two totally separate locations, and so they would be completely independent of each other. The advantage would be for the voter, when they show up, they will already be registered. I think this will be particularly helpful with those who register online, as they expect to be already registered when they show up, and so that will help. And again, anyone you can just check in and get them a ballot will speed up the process because you're not filling out a form, doing data entry, all of that. So
the same.
Yeah.
Great.
I think the difference is, you know, do you need additional staff? And that's the part to look at, of because you have people who are answering the phones. It's just, can they handle, in our office, we're looking at, can they handle the phones and keep up with the registration, or do you need to dedicate a couple people? We just don't know the volume. And right now, our registration volume's been really low.
Incredibly quiet.
Yeah.
Makes you nervous, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might be the changes to NCOA, frankly.
Are there updates on NCOA? Speaking of...
Yeah. Are they what?
Are there any updates on implementation of NCOA?
So, for us, we weren't as able to take advantage like we'd hoped because the law hadn't been signed in time for us to really use NCOA closer to the election. So I would say stay tuned for the general. I think it has really helped with in-county moves, and I think what will be interesting to see, another data point, is the number of undeliverables in the primary, and is that different because we've been using NCOA and reaching, doing more of that outreach will be to see now that we've had a little bit more cycle with it. I still really think the real data will be interesting after the general because we'll have got it much more institutionalized of how to make the most out of the use of NCOA and when to use it.
But there is a difference.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
So NCOA is functioning now.
Yes.
On the files. And how often is it running? How often is that updated run?
So NCOA is usually a once a month activity. And
that's what I thought. Monthly.
Yeah. Okay. So what the new law will allow us to do that, because of when it was signed, we couldn't quite use it for the primary, is it allow us to do another run of NCOA right before we send our address file to our vendors, because that's out of sync with the month. And in my county, it's going to be huge, because that will be right after all of the students have moved to their new location. So we're like, sweet! We're looking forward to using it twice. So.
And will SCORE tell us a voter whose record was changed because of NCOA? And then if that voter initiates action, like, for example, a voter who's shown to have moved out of state, therefore is made inactive, but then shows up at a VSPC and activates, will we be able to kind of see the story of a voter's record and how the data has changed? Or
you'll definitely see it in the audit log, and you could look at it. I just don't know what reports can be run from the audit log.
So that would be a question for the Secretary of State's office about, is there a way to look at... if we're seeing false negative, pings on the records or something like that, or, you know, things that need to be tweaked in terms of matching.
Yeah, but there is a code for when you make an NCOA registration change. So the input part, that should be a fairly easy transaction source. So knowing how many records were changed with NCOA definitely is possible. Knowing what happened after that and tying it back together, that's the part I'm not sure.
Right, that would take some work. Okay.
That would take data skills way above my knowledge level, which isn't high, to be clear.
So maybe it's possible.
Yeah, exactly. That's a question for a different person.
Okay, great. All right, so moving on, the technology subgroup. Trevor is at a conference. There was a memo that the project manager prepared about the implementation of the VSPC module that didn't get out to us, so we don't have that to discuss. I don't know, Fran or Hillary, if you know anything from business practices that, or technology that would be helpful, or if we need to punt this and actually read the memo and then see what.
So
we could start,
well, we had
big picture, like it seems like it's on track, but then beyond that.
Yeah, they had a project kickoff with all of the counties that was, quite good, laid out the timeline. They've added quite a few resources to the team, which will be really helpful. I know, looking over at OIT, we've some great resources from their project manager, and then there's a person above that project manager who's works in OIT, and if I had those names in front of me, I could tell you what they are, but we're very happy about that. right. And then they've also laid out a schedule where for technology people, I apologize if I butchered the names of this process, but they're doing 2-week sprints where they say, here's what we're going to fix, and then they show us that part. And that's been great. The first round, they showed us what they'd done so far, and it looked really good, and it was what we were expecting. The next one I'm really looking forward to, because that's the meat of it, where it's processing a voter status with their ballot, and then how the interface looks and works on that. So far, so good. It's really, yeah, and
there's a lot of input on both sides, the clerks and the IT at the state.
Yeah.
When we see something that we question, we ask questions and we talk it out and work it out and see if it can be done. That's when they try to implement it in the next session to see if that'll work. I really see good things coming out of this. I'm real excited for it.
Absolutely. And I'd say hats off to the Secretary of State's office for their process. Absolutely. It has been really inclusive and yet also focused. Sometimes when you invite 64 people, it can take a while, or 64 plus, I should say, because it's not just the clerks, but they've been, the process they've set up, the way they're running it has met both needs to both be efficient and to also get input and really listen.
Yes.
That's great. Good job on their part, and good job to OIT for helping with that as well. And Trevor and his team really have done a great job with it.
That's great. And I'm guessing it's in the memo, but ballpark, when do we expect to have a close to ready to test, and I know it's not for the primary, and having to conduct a primary does complicate all of this rollout, but what's the timing?
So July is when they're looking at, towards the middle to end of July, of sending it on for UAT to counties, early August for a mock election. Is what I remember from that.
That's what I thought was that, yeah. We were having a mock election in August. I know we're having a mock election, but I'm not sure if we'll be running the website on that.
Yeah, the mock
but
election is
to test that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that should be early August.
Great.
So.
Yeah.
Other questions for our technology subgroup?
Mid-August. Sorry, yeah. Mid-August. I keep wishing it was early August. You're right. I forgot.
Because it ruins a lot of vacations.
Well, nothing like running a mock election in August.
That's not your idea of a vacation?
It is
a party.
Fun.
Now we keep saying, like, gosh, if only we had 4 or 5 elections a year. Oh, wait. No, we don't.
We already
never said ever.
Exactly. So.
Anything else on technology? Okay, well, apparently there is a memo, so we will get our hands on it and make sure everyone has a chance to look at that, and then maybe we can get some time with the project manager and Trevor to walk through it in a little bit more detail next time. And then the last agenda item, I think, was just to review the risk register, and this was something that Representative Rankin had spent a lot of time putting together earlier, and it was in the report to the General Assembly, just the list of things that we thought could be issues. I feel like most of them have been addressed through the 2 subgroup reports, but I don't know if there are any items that people want to discuss or flag for future meetings. If anyone's read the risk register lately.
No, I know that the SOS sent out to counties and asked them for risks that they saw, and so that might be good information to have them report back to us what was reported from
useful,
the counties.
Yeah.
In my county, I had them look at the already created risk registry and add anything on, and I know that we did. The biggest thing is having the app ready on time.
Right.
So it's the,
that was ours.
It's the risk. That's from my IT person. Our county IT person said, even more so than outages and those things, they thought the risk was much greater if the app's not ready.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, we still have the backup plan, but it'll take longer to process those voters. So,
right. And when's the decision made about whether we need to go to the contingency? Is that a post-August mock election, probably?
Probably.
Yeah, I would. Or even is there early testing in July? I think the final decision would probably be August.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll probably know in July.
And we'll also know sooner because of the sprints that we're seeing. I mean, I think that would give us a sense of how those pieces are coming together. I think the one piece that's I'm not sure about is then what reporting are we getting out of that? So I'm hoping that we'll get to see, you know, it sits on top of SCORE essentially, and so are they going to be just the same reports, but or is it capturing, are we able to capture some of the data there too? Because that's to check the accuracy, right? You put it all in, all you want, but if you can't, like, see what went in. So that's my
Yeah, that would be worth
that would be one of my the tests to look for as opposed to the group too.
Okay.
On Representative Rang's behalf, I will say that there's many things that need to be discussed in this area.
And would he like to discuss them at a future date?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm sure that he would be happy.
Okay.
Excellent. We can do that.
Yes.
Yes. That makes sense. Okay. So I just got a message. Amber McReynolds is on her way over, and she can provide a little bit more from business practices if we would like to wait and, you know, hear what she's got to say. Otherwise, we can let her know that we're good and just punt it to our next meeting and then just move to figuring out when that next meeting should be.
She might have more from technology.
That's what I meant.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
I was like, we're at the same meeting. I'd be curious.
I know.
Sorry. No, of course. Technology.
And I'm not saying send her over because of that. I just
clarifying. So anyway, let the record reflect. She could come over and talk a little bit more about technology. Or we could just decide to table that until we have the memo and then talk to the project manager, et cetera, next time. Preference?
How soon is next time going to be?
Let's talk about it. Because I think there might be an election coming up for...
We're right there.
Coming up?
We're in it.
We're in it.
First
week
tomorrow.
The second.
Week from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped the second.
Yep.
So realistically, for our clerk members of the commission, what, knowing that there's never a quiet time before or after the primary slash before or after the general, what would make sense to try to reconvene?
I think we really should have Susan be part of the scheduling because we really need the Secretary of State's input right. on that. So we want to make sure we have their participation. Yeah. So.
Well, just to be clear, she was part of the scheduling, and there was a gap of information communicated back in terms of her availability, but she was okay. consulted okay. multiple times.
Okay. So I just think we should we should sort of look to a few dates after the primary election.
Right. If we could come up with a few, we could then circulate that for Representative Rankin, Suzanne, and our new representative of the disability community and find something that works for all of them potentially, mm-hmm. as Get well the, as us. But
some, you know, sometime obviously that sort of like early July would after the fourth weekend would be good.
I would suggest, see if we can't find a date the week of the 7th,
perhaps.
Or do you want to go one more week?
I'd like to go one the more 14th. Week because we're still finishing up Canvas in.
That's true. Well, the 7th has yeah. to be done, but yeah, we yeah. only degrees. Yeah, the work of the 14th sounds good. We could look at that as the first.
Okay. I'm out the 14th through the 25th, but I don't need to be here, so I would say you should pick some dates. And
I'm out the week of the 14th.
How about, you know, like towards the end of the week of the 7th, like the 10th or the 11th?
The 11th works.
Yeah. Oh, Friday, July 11th?
Yeah. The 10th That's or 11th.
Just, that would work for me.
Yeah.
10th, 11th.
By 1?
11th.
I thought I heard somebody saying July 1 over there.
Oh, I just said the 11th would be fine. So.
And are folks generally flexible that day, and we can just see what works for others in terms of morning versus afternoon?
Afternoon's better.
Okay.
Yeah,
the crack of dawn.
Yeah, noon. That works. You know, noon on. Good.
All right. Well, let's shoot for noon on the 11th, and once we hear back from others, we can obviously adjust it or come up with a new date. But if everyone could just pencil that in, that would be great. Anything else for today's meeting? Going once? All right. I think we're adjourned.
Sounds good. Thanks
everyone.
Thank you. Are you visiting?